Hey everyone, good morning. Welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show, where the Teach Better team gets to join you live every single day, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern. I feel like I say that as fast as possible every single week. Katie and I are very excited to be kicking off this morning with all of you. It is a beautiful November day, and it's going to be a good one. We'll be right back. Good morning, everyone. Bonjour. Hi, Katie. How are you?
Hola.
Hola. That's good.
I was really thrown by the French, but good morning. Happy day that ends in Y.
Yeah, day that ends in Y. And I'm actually learning French right now. Did I tell you that?
Oh my gosh. I feel like we talk all the time and I know very little about you.
This is another part where we've been talking about healthy habits, and some healthy habits I put in place was doing some artwork, which I feel like a fourth grader because I'm walking around every time I make a painting and being like, look at what I made. Yep. I also picked up learning a language. So I'm doing Duolingo, which is, this is not an ad. I'm doing the free Duolingo. And if any of you have not done it, it's actually baller. Really? Like, I mean, okay, so I don't actually know anything about Duolingo, and it wasn't one of the names that came up in my mind, like Rosetta Stone, like when you're learning a language. But the girls actually had it on their iPads, and it engaged our six-year-old like unreal. Like, she wanted to do that instead of roadblocks, which to me was like the biggest win ever.
Yeah.
And we were sitting together on the couch for like an hour doing it. I'm like, well, I'm gonna make my own. So yeah, I'm on a 5-day streak learning French.
Like, hello.
I know. So I just want you to know that if any of you are lost in France and you need help saying that that's a cat or that's a horse, I am the girl for you. Like,
that is my biggest fear, is that I'm going to be stuck in France and not be able to identify what animal it is.
Right. No, not what animal, just a horse and cat. Oh, and I know dog, but I can't spell it. It's C-H-E-I-N. I keep spelling it wrong and it's telling me I don't know what dog is, but I can say, are you a horse? Is that a horse? It's a horse. Okay. I'm really working on.
Yeah, this is going to be like beyond helpful. I'm confident.
Yeah. So I'm really impressed with the repetition, the variety of activities it gives you. It's quick. It's like playing a game. I'm like going to be a supporter of Duolingo forever now. And I'm just doing the free version.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Maybe this is a question for the comments. So make sure to comment. What language would you learn right now if you could learn another language? Because that was the big debate of like, if you can learn any language and Duolingo's here to like set you up, what's the actual language that you're going to choose to commit to?
I think I would lean on like Spanish.
Spanish is what I was going to go for as well, because I feel like as an educator, that's what I interact with most when it comes to like reaching students is English.
Yeah. I was going to say that would be like, I feel like helpful. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to be totally honest. My school, we didn't have foreign language. It was only in high school. You had to take 2 years of it. And I took the 2 years barely, like I barely passed them. And then I dropped out and
wait, to confirm, you didn't drop out of high school. You dropped out of the foreign language.
I dropped out of foreign language. My junior year, the teacher literally for the first week said nothing in English. And every day I went home and went, I have no idea if I have any homework, because I have no idea what she said. And I was like kind of prideful at that time. So I didn't admit to any of my friends I didn't know what she was saying. And so every day I was like, and so then on the fifth day, I went to my counselor and I was like, here's the thing. I'm pretty sure I'm failing because I've done nothing and I don't know what's going on. But it was one of those moments where my brain could not process it. And I know like there are, I'm confident, fabulous educators. I'm sure I was also just being like a turd as a, you know, a high schooler, like refusing to admit that I needed help. But I Like, it was one of those moments where I was like, I legit have no idea how to get my brain to function.
Yeah, I won't lie. I am terrible at languages. I took, I think, 3 to 4 years of Spanish in high school. I don't think I learned a single thing. And I, like, when I was in Israel, I focused a lot on Hebrew and I felt very confident with Hebrew. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so much better than like taking a class. Like, being immersed in it was so beneficial, which I know so many foreign language teachers out there that are using that practice in their classroom. It's amazing. I don't feel like my brain works well with languages. I've just got it in my mind that languages aren't for me. But now that I'm trying to learn French, which was kind of a random pick in my mind, I don't know why Miren and I are focusing on French. I feel like all of a sudden, all this like Hebrew and Spanish is coming out where I'm trying to answer the question and I know how to answer it in Hebrew, but I don't know how to answer it in French. Like,
that's funny.
Interesting. Yeah, it's been super interesting.
Well, yeah, I'd love to know if you are someone who had to learn another language, what was the language? And then what was like the hardest part? Because that I always find fascinating, of like, when someone says, I know this language, but here was the hardest thing for me to learn about it. Because I do agree. I think I feel like more and more adults that say they had to, like, they like lived in another country, they were immersed in it, they were more successful than like the sit and get classroom. So,
well, yeah. And if you're in a household that speaks a different language than English, then you're automatically in that immersion. I love it. That's in my mind, the way to learn, but
I agree.
I also would love to hear if any of you are like challenging yourself to do Duolingo, or if any of you are doing it, because I think it's really fun. I know I'm learning. I can't necessarily identify for you on day five. Like, I don't feel confident speaking it, but I do feel confident reading what I'm experiencing so far. So I think I need to practice speaking a little bit more. But you set goals. It's like, it just counts that you try and do a lesson a day. And the lessons, like, I got through a lesson yesterday in 2 minutes, but I set a goal to do 10 minutes a day. So I ended up doing a few different lessons, but I don't know. It's like really well created, where if you're doing a lesson that's new, you have to have like a certain amount of hearts and you can like not have enough and blah, blah, blah. So I always cancel out of that. But to earn more hearts, all you have to do is more practice. So sometimes I'm just doing review for a few minutes. So
okay,
I don't know. I have nothing but good things to say about the free account. Super cool.
This is not
highly recommend.
This is not a sponsorship.
They should sponsor. Oh my God, Duolingo, a sponsor. Teach Better Today morning show. Bonjour. That's okay. All I got.
Let's get into our team talk.
Oh, you mean the grid question that we're going to answer? Okay. Let's get into grid. Let's get gritty. Bonjour, Teach Better Today, friends, family, comment ça va? How are you? So glad you're here. We're getting into team talk.
Katie, we?
Are you going to learn about French? Are you going to take French with
I'm honestly kind of having like PTSD from high school.
No, it's so fun. Bonjour, Katie, comment ça va?
Do we have homework? Am I just something new tomorrow?
I love how there's going to be people that actually know French. Like, Brett Hughes is fluent in French. He used to be a French teacher. He's going to be like, Ray, you just said, like, hi to the elephants. My name is Bob. Like, he's going to be like, this is not right.
The only word I remember in Spanish, literally, other than, like, you know, the ones everyone knows, is mochile. And you know what it is? Backpack. That's it.
What about biblioteca? That's library. Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I know isolated words. Couldn't put them in a sentence. Couldn't do anything with them.
Well, if you're ever lost in like Spain, you could mime and be like
100%. That's what I will do. I'll be like, man, I don't know. Food?
Man. Guys, we're getting into our grid question as Katie is talking about needing a margarita at 7 a.m. Eastern. Oh my gosh. And just as a note, Katie's not drinking margaritas because the baby isn't coming until next week. So you got time, girl. You got time. We have a great question here from a listener. And I really loved the question because there's so much context, but we answer grid questions all the time, but I don't think we've done a ton on the Today Show recently. So
no, we really haven't.
No. So can we do this one? This is a great question from a viewer that sent this in. It says, do grid folks put due dates embedded within the grid for kids who either don't know how to manage their time or just slow walk it because they aren't interested in engaging with the learning opportunities? I started telling students when the level quizzes were due and put it right in the grid. It might be sacrilegious that they wrote that. So getting into some grid questions, this one specifically about due dates. I don't think I've gotten this question within the last month. So this is like a great one to make sure we're reinforcing. Katie, what are your thoughts?
So I love this question because it's a realistic question. We get this all the time in our trainings, right? We get this from people who have started using the grid. And the reality is, if that is what your students need, yes. That's what many students need because they are still kids and they're still learning how to manage themselves. So yes, pie in the sky. Best case scenario is that they can manage their time. Obviously, that's what we're working towards. But at the end of the day, we also know if you give a kid a 3-week deadline to say the grid is due at this date in 3 weeks, some kids are going to be like, okay, I'll see you in 2.5 weeks. I'll start working, you know, like, and some adults, honestly, like, let's be real. Some adults would do the same. So
yeah, I have things on my to-do list that I've had on there for at least 3 weeks, at least. And 100%. I'm like, oh, I'll get to it. It's there's no accountability yet for it to be done. Like I'm not there yet.
So I think that putting due dates is totally fine. One of the things that I personally, when I do the grid method training, when I talk through like setting kind of a timeline and kind of setting that calendar, which is a big part of our training, I say it's all about how you frame it. So rather than saying things are due on a certain day, I say the goal is you want to be to this point by this date so that you are on track to finish. And, I felt like that was a culture thing for me as far as like establishing the culture of we are learning together. We are all working towards our goal. It was a personal preference for me to change the way that I worded it because what I didn't, I was, the reason I switched to the grid is I didn't want students to constantly feel behind. We've talked about it before, teaching math, some kids come in with that preconceived notion of I will be a failure every day in this class. So I took things like the word due date and I switched it out and started using goals. And so that just helped kids know this is what I'm working towards, but if I fall short, it's okay as long as I keep working towards it. So that's just like my quick thing, but I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, Katie answered it in like the best teach better-y way ever. I'm going to say it like down and dirty just to confirm all of you like taking the stress off of your back. I'm an owner within the Teach Better team. I've used the grid method for a decade. Yes, I always do due dates. Like that's just that's what I needed. That's what my students needed. The trick in my mind to the grid method is that in the background, you have all these things already like figured out. And in the foreground, the students feel like they have voice and choice, even though you've put in parameters to make sure you all reach the right end result. So for me, when I released my grids to students, I on one side of the paper had the grid and on the other side of the paper had a projected like due date goal.
Calendar.
And essentially the minimum expectation in the grid, which for me in most of my classes was some sort of summative assessment, that had a hard deadline because like if you weren't ready to take the test by that day, you were taking it anyway. And if you could take it early, then good for you. Like go for it. I also had like tentative hard deadlines for like really, really important end of level quizzes to ensure that I was really keeping up with those students. My framing was very similar in terms of Katie as of how I presented it to students, but the reality was that these deadlines exist and they were secure for me. The other thing that helped me was I would tell students like, okay, level one quiz is due Friday. But that means that not only have I laid out how to get there with success by giving you tentative due dates on every single day leading up to Friday, but I'm also going to be your partner, your advocate in making sure you get there. So it's almost like the due date exists, but I'm with you to help you to make sure we get there together and you are successful. It's not like, oh, the due date's Friday. Good luck. I'm just going to stand back and watch you not reach it. So it was helpful for them to see, like, this is where we're working. These are the daily goals, the short-term goals, and the long-term goals. And we as a group, now that we have that information, are all going to work to get there together. So I'm a huge fan of deadlines. I think they're needed. I think especially in your first five grids, they're essential for students to understand the
process. The pacing.
Yeah, the pacing. So.
And I like that you said daily goals too, because yes, it's important to have like the end, like whenever that summative assessment needs to be taken or the end of level quizzes or whatever, those benchmarks. But the daily goal too is helpful for a student to know, am I on track to be successful or not? And we see that across the board with, you know, the itty bitties all the way up to high school, just to like have some frame of reference. But again, I think we both kind of went in with the mindset of, it's okay if a kid is ahead, and it's also okay if a kid's slightly behind, but you yeah. as the educator are monitoring that, and it's okay to adjust. So there would be plenty of times that I would do an audit of like, where is everyone at? And then I would see we've got half the class is way behind a deadline, you know, one of those due dates that I had set in my head. So then we reevaluate and modify, and so that we can keep going.
We called that pacing guide like a living, breathing document. So it can change as needed, but this is our projected outcome of what we can foresee, and we're all going to work together. And the other thing I really liked was the opportunity where students were still setting their own goals. Like this was not me setting a goal for them. They still were setting their own personal goals that were even and sometimes more specific than my general goal. Mm-hmm. But my mindset of this calendar was to say, at any point in time, if you want to know where I think you should be, this is what you can lean on. You are going to be wherever you are in this process, but this is a visual of where I think you should be aiming for. So really good reminders, a practice that a majority of us, I feel like, use. So hopefully this helps as you are thinking through supporting your grid method students.
And if you're someone that maybe started using due dates and now your students are at a point where you feel like you found that sweet spot where they can establish their own, we'd also love to hear from you, because that is ultimately the goal, right? Is that students are setting their own pace and they're working on their own timelines. But it does take time. It does take a process, and it takes a lot of coaching because we're still working with kids. So we'd love to kind of hear any kind of journey stories as to where you're at in the grid, because we're all working towards it together. And there's always a little bit of modification to whatever works best for you and your student. So give yourself that freedom to like do what's right for you.
Ooh, I feel like those stories are good in the comments of this video, but also those will be really good, like separate posts in our private Facebook group to make sure you're reaching everyone. Really good conversations there, but thanks for the listener question. Katie, we got to bow out. We got a long day, a big day, an exciting day ahead. So we hope you all have an amazing day as well. And of course, reach out if you have any questions. Katie, see you on the flip side.
Hey, Teach Better community. Thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today morning show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, Katie, we're still live. Katie, I just wanted to say bonsoir. Bonsoir.
Yeah.